Not so much. I do have my name called randomly sometimes, and with this house that we're in now, we do know there is a little girl that comes in and out. And then when we first moved in here, both me and my husband saw a young girl walk through the kitchen, and out into the conservatory. Three of my children have got red hair, and I thought it was my middle one first of all, because this little girl had red hair. It wasn't her because Amy was upstairs in her room. And then another time as well, we were sitting on the sofa and we heard, Mah! So I've gone, okay, who's calling me? None of them were calling me, but we've all heard, Mum.
Welcome back to another episode of Your Ghost Stories. Today, I'm joined by a British paranormal investigator, and I can't wait to dive into some of her stories. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Donna to the show. Hello, and thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you for inviting me on.
It's a total pleasure. So feel free to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what keeps you busy.
Okay. Well, my name's Donna, obviously. Hey, 49. I do paranormal investigations almost every single weekend. Luckily, I've got a supportive husband and a family that are quite happy for me to go out and do stuff like this. I live in Surrey. Always had a massive interest in the paranormal, but it wasn't until I got with my husband now that I was able to explore it more and just dive right into it. Animal mad. I got four dogs, which you'll probably hear soon. Look after horses, work, just usual everyday stuff, really.
Awesome. Is your husband into the paranormal as well, or is he just a supportive husband?
Yeah, no, he is. He doesn't do as many as he used to because he's really bad. He falls asleep now. He'll quite happy just sit in the corner and fall asleep. But it was actually what happened. I was married before, and even though I was into the paranormal, I wasn't able to explore it. Because he was a bit of a stickler, just not, I'm not going to go there because, you know, you don't need to go there. And then I met my husband and he was interested in the paranormal. So I just decided for his birthday one year, I'd buy a couple of tickets to a friend's event. So we went along and for our first ever investigation, proper investigation, it was amazing. And so, yeah, it kind of just escalated from there, from always having that passion to be able to finally go out, experience it, be part of it. It was unbelievable. And from there, I've probably done close to about 400 investigations now.
Wow, 400. So yeah, you're definitely you're definitely the right type of person that to get on this podcast to listen to your expertise and your experience.
Oh, bless you.
So would you say your husband was a huge influence for you to become a paranormal investigator? Beforehand, were you into it? Did you have any experiences as a child or growing up?
Yeah, obviously he's been like the pinnacle for me to be able to explore this massively. Because obviously we started out together, but now, as I said, he falls asleep. But he's more than happy for me to carry on and doing what I love. Always had a massive, massive, massive interest in the paranormal. When I was younger, I used to have this dream, well, actually, it felt more than a dream, that I was being wrapped up in like angel wings and just being protected. And then my first ever experience was when, because I'm actually from Hemel Hempstead, and my mum, she used to work in one of the pubs in the old town. And that's when I had my first ever paranormal proper experience. I used to help the cleaning lady. I was only about 7 or 8. And so I was upstairs in the cupboard and I felt this hand come on my shoulder. So I've looked around to see if it was the Lady Norma. And no, there was no one there, but this hand actually went over and grabbed my shoulder. So that was pretty interesting. And then at the same pub as well, I saw a lady standing behind me in the mirror. There was a massive mirror that was on the wall, like looking down on the staircases. And I saw her behind me, and then she just kind of walked past. And then just a few places that I'd go to as well, I'd catch a glimpse of something up in the windows. And there's a place where I used to live called Shendish, And that whole area is like really, really active. And we used to see stuff going on in the field sometimes. Shendish Manor is really active. So I'd always be drawn to where I knew some stuff might be happening. Even though at that time I was still quite scared of it because I wasn't 100% sure, I've always been drawn to where something might scare you out of your skin.
Do you know any of the history of the pub that you had those experiences in? Is it well known to be?
The Old Bell, the whole of Hemel Old Town. Have you ever seen the programme Afterlife with Ricky Gervais?
I have, yeah. It's a good show.
That's where I'm from, Hemel Hempstead. So the whole of the Old Town has got so much paranormal there. There's tunnels that link the pubs underneath that go straight down into Gaybridge Park. And it's very Roman as well, so that links to St Albans as well. Almost every single pub along there has got some ghostly history and stories. And I know one of the pubs, Henry VIII, has a link as well to one of the pubs. So if you ever get a chance to go, just go. The White Hart is really, really active. People that have had lots of experiences, even just walking in the pub, people have seen things. And my husband and I went for a night out with some of my old friends in one of the pubs, and you could actually feel the energy there. And I asked one of the landlords, was he experiencing stuff? Because I was getting a vibe from stuff that was in the pub. And he said, yeah, the taps keep turning on. And I asked him, have they been doing some renovations without asking, like, permission really from the spirits? And they'd been doing some stuff, and it kind of stirred stuff up, but I was sensing what had been going on there, which is quite funny. Now, I like people's reaction when you tell them about stuff that you do and you pick up on stuff. I like to see their reactions, like either, oh God, stay away from her, or oh my God, I want to know more. You know, it's that kind of, I like to shock people sometimes because it does shock them.
It's certainly not for everyone, is it? It's fascinating to hear what you were saying. It sounds like a super active location with, you know, lots of awesome history. I've not actually been myself, but yeah, it sounds like I need to take a visit.
Yeah, even the churchyard. I mean, people may not believe me on this, and I've tried to find the photo, but I can't. I actually took a photo in the graveyard. You know, not being funny, most people into paranormal are drawn to graveyards and cemeteries. And I took a photo, and it actually looked like an apparition of a stag. I have tried to find this photo for love nor money, and can I find it? No. But it was unbelievable. And this was actually in the graveyard in between Gaybridge and the Old Town.
Awesome. Can you talk a little bit more about Paranormal Presence Investigations? Is that your company? Or how are you affiliated with that?
No, Paranormal Presence is my friend's company. Alison, I've known her for many years now. She actually passed me to join one of the first proper teams that I joined with. Don't want to mention their name because it didn't turn out very good for them. But Alison actually was the one person that I worked with first of all. And we've been in and out of each other's lives for years now. And I decided to join on Alison's team just before Christmas. So we're all friends, you know, so we know exactly what we're doing. We trust each other. We know that no one's going to fake anything. And yeah, it's really good. We're only a small team. We like to have more like investigators and stuff on there, but we probably will be opening up more for public events and stuff. But yeah, we work well. She's a good investigator.
I think it's so important what you said about trust. I did one of those investigations a couple of years ago at an old school. And one of the guys there, he was there with this big camera, like filming for his YouTube channel or whatever. It was so obvious that he kept doing things. We were doing Ouija boards and stuff. And it was just so obvious he was doing it for the camera and just trying to like trick people, or, you know, just do something interesting for his, you know, followers or whatever. But yeah, it just really ruined that for me.
Yeah.
Particularly. I even called him out on it. I said, like, dude, you know, I didn't pay this much money to come and, you know, for you to just, you know, pretend that like it's all happening.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Having
that element of trust with people around you, I think, is very important with this kind of stuff.
Oh, massively. And I think this is why I used to host quite a lot, like for different teams. And I think this is what's kind of killed my passion for hosting, because you put so much effort into it. And then you will get people that are either, oh, it's fake, and they try and fake things. I did an investigation at the Skirred Inn once with a group of people. And I knew these two lads were faking it because everybody knows the difference between if you knock on a piece of wood, a spirit knock can be quite subtle or it's a heavier thud. These were like knuckle, like that kind of knock. I knew they were mimicking it. And so I did. I said, look, I'm not being rude, but I can see what you're doing. If you carry on, you're going to find yourself without an investigation because you'll be outside. Now, I don't like things like that. Don't go on these events if you're going to fake it, because you're going to ruin your own experience and you're going to ruin the experience of the other people around you.
I couldn't agree
more. It's
not
fair.
What equipment do you guys typically use during investigations, and how do these tools help you gather evidence?
I must admit, I have got quite a lot of kit. I never used to. I've built it up over the years that my husband's bought for me. My favourite piece of equipment that I use, obviously your senses is really, really important, massively important in any investigation. You let your senses kick in a bit more. I love my REM pod. I absolutely love that because I always get really good communication with that. I don't know, it just, almost every place I've been into, and I always make sure that I've got a brand new battery in it and I've got a spare battery in case it has a hissy fit at me. But I always get really good responses from that. And I'm not a lover of cat balls. They are too temperamental. And, you know, I think unless you're in a place and you actually ask if you've got an active spirit there, okay, if you've got one on the windowsill, can you go to the fireplace and set that one off? And if you've got cat balls that are going off intermittently or together, yeah, it could be a clear sign of spirit with you, but I'm not a fan of cat balls. But I do love my REM pod, and I've got the spirit box as well. I was on a location a couple of weeks ago on a friend's team, and I didn't realise that Linda said, can you go and say something to Donna? And I had this man's voice come through the headphone, hey, Donna, and it always makes me jump. When a spirit says your name, it makes me jump out of my skin. I'm like, you got me there, you know. But I think the spirit box, I take the aerials out of mine as well, so it kind of does eliminate a lot more of the frequencies coming through. But when you're in a place where you've got no reception and you hear voices come through and your name being said, you can't argue with that. You can't. But I do have quite a bit of kit, but they seem to be the main ones I use, and a voice recorder as well.
As you mentioned, you've done over 400 investigations, which is a staggering number. So you must be somewhat desensitized to the fear of it all. Have you ever encountered a situation during an investigation that genuinely frightened you? And if so, could you describe it to us?
I can, actually. As you just said, I did get a bit kind of like, I wasn't bothered anymore. You know, to me, I appreciate spirit, like with the taps, the bangs and like what they can bring, because that takes a lot of energy. But I actually put it out to the universe, right, I want something to happen to me now. I want something just to make me believe again, put the fear in God of me. And it happened. I went to the judge's lodgings, I think it was September or October last year, and I went into the courtroom on my own while the team was in the base room. And I felt something brush the back of my neck. So I'm like, okay, thank you, Spirit, for letting me know that you're here. I just felt that. Oh, my God, the next minute, my head got pulled back. My hair actually got pulled back, so my head moved. Yeah, I shot out of there quicker than, you know, there's like Christmas sales going on in the shop to get to. I was gone. And yeah, it did really kind of make me go, right, okay, don't ever doubt it again, Donna, because there is stuff out there. But yeah, that did make me jump.
It sounds very serious. I think it is very important to do these kind of protection rituals when you're dealing with spirits, because as far as I've learned, there's good and there's evil. And if you're messing with the wrong thing, or, you know, bringing that, manifesting that thing, then it's not going to be good news for you, is it? So do you do you do much like protection rituals? Or
I did used to all the time, but then maybe it's just my thinking. I found that when I was calling in protection, I wasn't feeling as much or experienced as much as somebody else would have been. Maybe I was putting my own guard up too much. So I'm not going to lie, I don't do it as much. But then every time I do leave a place, I always just like thank the spirits for their interactions. Just say, look, this is your home. I'm going to travel safely back to my home and we'll cross paths again one day in the future. But I don't ever go into a place like with a crappy attitude or I'll say, oh, come then, you know, or antagonise, because what do you get from that? Nothing but a bad feeling. But yeah, I have started to do, since the judges' lodgings, I do a little private one to myself. And if there is ever any guests on the events, which I try to do a lot without guests now, with just my friends, I will silently put protection around.
Do you ever feel...
Or if someone says...
Do you ever feel afraid, like you might take something home with you?
No, never. I can honestly say that. I've never, ever... There's sometimes after an event where you know there has been bad energy, you feel a bit kind of clagged up the next day. So that's when I do get my sage out, and I've at night outside, sage everything off, put crystals on my board if I feel like anything. I've never had anything negative come through my board, and I use the one that I made. But I can honestly say, touch wood, I've never had anything paranormal come home with me. My kids say that I bring stuff home, but I've never witnessed it.
And I guess kids are more susceptible to this kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I just think they like to blame everything on me.
Yeah, if they're having a bad day, it's your fault.
Yeah, mum's fault. Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what are the most common misconceptions people have about paranormal investigations?
I think it's people walking into active building and thinking that things are going to be going from the start, you know, things are going to be thrown, because so much of it comes from Hollywood and like the films. Like if you hold up a planchette, you're going to see a spirit beyond that. Every time you do an event, you have to explain, it's not like what you see in Hollywood. What, you could come here, spend 6 hours and get absolutely nothing. So just have an open mind and don't expect nothing. But I think so many people do expect to either be pushed. Yeah, people always think as well that they're going to go home with something. And I think that's the fear of it. It's, oh, I'm not going to do that because something's going to follow me home. And I want people to, obviously, you have to be aware of it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be aware of it. But like with me, if you put it out there, you can like manifest things for yourself.
I had a situation once where I don't know if it's something that I manifested it with my energy, or whether it was, you know, a spirit, or I manifested a spirit with my energy. But in the very first episode, I spoke about it in detail. But I had a situation where I was so full of fear when I was much younger. I was probably about 12 years old. And I was looking out a bedroom window, and I'd been told that this house I was in was haunted. And being a young kid, I was absolutely terrified. I really didn't want to see anything. And I remember, like, I don't think I've ever felt fear like it. And I could just remember thinking, please don't happen, please don't happen, please don't happen, please don't say anything. And just right in front of my eyes, there's these net curtains. And it's like two hands grabbed them, lifted them all the way to the top and just dropped them. So yeah, I know what you mean about manifesting it. So yeah, I feel like I feel like my energy, my fear really did that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, everybody has their own thoughts and beliefs. Anything with the paranormal, you get the good and the bad, you know, plus and the negative, you always get that. But I just think people need to, if you're going to do a place like this, don't come with a, oh, it's not real. Having skeptics is really good. I'm not against that at all. But if you go onto investigation straight away, oh, it's fake, it's da-da-da-da-da. I just want people to be a bit more open-minded about things, you know, because something can happen. There was a gentleman that I actually hosted an event for once with a team, and was at the village up in Mansfield. He was a complete non-believer. He was dissing it all night. I did laugh. I shouldn't have laughed, but it was funny. Next minute, he has virtually ran out of the area in a complete panic and a state. So I've gone up to him upstairs. I said, look, can you just tell me what happened? Obviously, you're in my grip. I want to make sure you're okay. And he said that something grabbed the back of his T-shirt and it touched him. He refused to go back down there because he'd gone in with the attitude, oh, it isn't real and it's all fake and nothing's going to happen. It happened to him and it scared the life out of him. And I was like, yeah, but that's what you come for. And he's like, no, it wasn't. I'm like, well, yeah, it was.
I'm sure that changed his point of view.
An open mind. Yeah, he'd actually already rung his wife to come and get him. He was that scared, which I did actually find quite comical.
What advice would you give to someone interested in becoming a paranormal investigator?
Know what you're stepping into. I mean, everybody starts the same thing. You go in there, you know, you want things to happen. Don't expect anything to happen because it happens gradually, you know. But just don't, if you go into abandoned buildings, which I'm not one for doing, don't ever go on your own. You know, just be prepared. Don't walk into a place and just go in with disrespect, you know, because you don't know what you're dealing with. But if you're going to explore it, do some research, first of all. You know, so I had one mum come up to me once before saying, oh, her 8-year-old son's into paranormal. What can I do? Can I get him a K2 and stuff? I'm actually against kids exploring at this stage because they're so young and their minds are still growing. And as most of us know, paranormal activity, podcast activity can stem from teenagers. The adolescent mind can actually cause stuff to happen. And I think if something happens to a child and they're not fully prepared, just be cautious, you know. Don't go flying in there. I don't know how to say it. It's all going to come out completely wrong. Go in there, have an open mind, record things as well, you know, make notes of things. And if you find yourself going back, compare it to how it was before. Keep records of everything, you know, but just make sure that you're safe and that other people know where you are. But I won't discourage anyone. I'll just say make sure that you know some of what you're doing, you know, start off maybe with a voice recorder and stuff. And I don't agree with, I walk around ghosts like graveyards and stuff, but I don't agree with doing recordings in graveyards because that's someone's resting place. You know, find some of that, maybe like an old ruin or something. Like we've got a place here called Waverley Abbey. We know that's haunted. Just have a walk around a historic place and see what you pick up on first of all, and just see, go from there. Just let it grow naturally. If it's going to happen, it'll happen naturally.
I know you touched on a couple of stories, but can you share one of your most compelling paranormal investigations and what made it stand out from the others?
God, there's been a few. Are you sure there's only for now? I've got a few. When hubby and I went for our first ever one, we went to a place called Bisham Abbey in Marlow. And again, we was excited and stuff, didn't know what to expect really. We just knew we was interested in the paranormal. And literally from the word go, stuff was happening. You could see shadows under the doors, like feet coming up. There were constant taps and bangs. And one energy, this was before I actually really understood it, or one energy did come really close to me, and I was a bit of a state because I couldn't understand what was going on, because their energy field got inside of my energy field. And I was completely naive and I had no idea really what was going on. So that's why I say just don't go in like wanting everything to happen, because it can go wrong. But Bisham Abbey was really good. We went back there a couple of times. The second time we went back, on the table outside of the main hall where we were downstairs, there were two ginger nut biscuits, because the place used to be like a conference as well during the day. Now we knew everyone that was on that investigation, and then we had the lights off, was doing calling out, there was stuff going on in the room, you could hear things moving, and we could hear things being thrown around the room. We were like, okay, people were getting hit on the head. It was pitch black, you couldn't see anything, what was going on. And then when we turned the light on, we found there were little tiny pieces of biscuit. And then when we left the room, that biscuit was missing that was on the sideboard. But while this was all happening, you could hear tiny footsteps running up to the door and giggles from the other side of the door as well. And then you'd hear running off, and then the biscuits thrown everywhere. People may not believe me, but I swear to God that happened. You know, that was like the first proper like, oh my God, did that actually really happen? Another one, I think it's got to be Edinburgh Vaults. I hosted there a couple of years ago. My husband was with me, and we actually all had an almost full apparition in front of us forming in the doorway. Have you ever been to the Edinburgh Vaults?
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's amazing. This is Nidra Street. As you go into the tunnels at the vaults, right at the very end, there's a set of stairs, and on the left-hand side, there's another room. And we could hear these chains clinking in the boots, and there was five other people with us, and they could hear it as well. And then suddenly in the doorway, you could see these lights just flickering all over, and you could actually see the manifestation of the shoulders and stuff appear. That was incredible. And the fact that we all saw it, the other place as well, Accrington Police, Courts and Police Cells. This is like with the team that I was with a couple of years ago again. We was all sitting, it's free time because it was a stay over. So, you know, you could go off with the guests, not actually host, just be with them if they want to do anything. We was all in this one room, and there was this one door. I had my REM pod in the doorway. This one door, it actually open to a set of stairs. So the carpets as well were really, they were skanky. They were just rank, so old and sticky. And you could hear this door like making the noise in the carpet. Next minute, it slammed shut. Literally in front of all of us, this door just slammed shut. That was amazing. When you get evidence like that, where things actually physically happen, to me, I get really excited. People are like, oh my God, I'm like, why are you screaming? This is so exciting. This is what you're here for, you know? This is spirit letting you know that they're here. You know, I do get so excited when stuff like that happen. And at the weekend as well, I went back to Delapray Abbey with my friend's team, Brooks Paranormal. And you could actually hear this lady's heels like walking really fast up and down the corridor. While we were all in this corridor, you could hear footsteps. I am very, very lucky. I've had so many amazing experiences. Some good, some not so good. But I can actually say, yes, I have had these experiences. And luckily, I've been with people that have experienced it as well and witnessed the same thing. So there's always somebody that could 9 out of 10 times back up what I'm saying, you know. But there's so many places. It's just amazing, isn't it? It really, really is amazing.
Wow, you have some incredible stories. So thank you so much for sharing them. You sound so passionate about investigations, and it's lovely to hear the excitement in your voice. I am dying to know, though, Donna, what biscuit was it in your first story? Do the spirits like a digestive or a bourbon?
What, the ones that was being thrown?
Yeah.
It was a ginger biscuit.
Ginger biscuit.
It was a ginger biscuit. There were two of them on the plate, on the sideboard, that was being thrown around the room.
So maybe they didn't like ginger biscuits, by the sound
of
it.
Yeah, or they just didn't like us, one of them. Missiles being thrown.
It sounds like you have a million and one stories to share, and I can see why with how many investigations you've been part of. Have you ever experienced any unexplained phenomena outside of investigations in your personal life?
Not so much. I do have my name called randomly sometimes, and this house that we're in now, we do know there is a little girl that comes in and out. And then when we first moved in here, both me and my husband saw a young girl walk through the kitchen. And out into the conservatory. Three of my children have got red hair, and I thought it was my middle one first of all, because this little girl had red hair. It wasn't her, because Amy was upstairs in her room. And then another time as well, we were sitting on the sofa and we heard Mah! So I've gone, okay, who's calling me? None of them were calling me, but we've all heard mum and stuff. But nothing really to say there's anything negative here or anything that scares me to being in my house. But, and do you know what? Things might have happened. I just may not be aware of it now.
With the thing calling your mum, is that what they call a trickster spirit? I mean, the amount of stories I've heard, including myself, that have had that kind of experience.
Yeah.
With a family member, you know, it seemed like a family member talking to me, but there was absolutely no one there and they didn't say a word. Is that called a trickster spirit?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was this little girl. I know at one point when we first moved in here, my youngest, she's 13 now, she kept saying about a little boy and his dog that was on the stairs. And most of my circles are like even mediums, paranormal investigators. They're the people that I tend to, obviously everyone clicks with the same people. And then one day this friend, she went into trance. She was very good at doing trance. And she was giving me really evil looks. I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, you call me him. And I was like, okay. And she went, you call me him. And then as soon as she said that, I knew that she was on about this little boy. And I said, I was basically quite rude to him. I said, you cannot be in my house. If you do one more thing, you're out. And he says, right, I'm going to rattle your doors tonight. And he did. He actually rattled the doors. But then since that moment, absolutely nothing. And that we've been here 14 years now and nothing since really. So, yeah, I guess there has been some stuff. It's not until you talk about it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, Donna, you've been an amazing guest and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join me today. It really has been a pleasure to have you on. Where can people come and find more about you or your investigations or more about paranormal presence investigations?
Well, we're on Facebook. I do post stuff on Instagram as well. But if anybody wants to, if anybody wants to message me, I can put them in touch with Alison and stuff. We literally welcome anybody. We're not some of these people that pick and choose who we talk to. We talk to absolutely everybody. And if somebody's got an interest or they go on an event on their own, they're never on their own. I go on so many events on my own, but you're never alone. How can you be on your own when you've got other people there with you that want the same experience? So, but yeah, just find us on Facebook. On under Facebook, I'm Donna Louise. So just, yeah, just click on, you know, or come and have a chat. You know, even the skeptics are welcome as well, because they're always welcome for, it's like a debate with the skeptics, which is great, isn't it?
If you send me over a couple of links, I'll include them in the description of this show.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, it's been amazing.
I did actually put on my TikTok today, we've got a couple of prisons going up. I don't know if you want to look on there and have a look. We've got a couple of prisons coming up.
Oh, brilliant. Where can people find the TikTok?
I am... I've got to find this up now. At @paranormal_Donna.
There we have it. Awesome. Okay, well, yeah, thank you so much. And I'll put the links in the description so people can go and find them. And yeah, amazing. I hope you have an awesome night.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.